This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:08, and before we move on to our final guest, really, on what has been one long show. So our whole show today has been focused on the resignation of the Prime Minister, and we wanted to hear actually from MPs about how they're feeling. We did get in touch with a number of MPs across the aisle, but understandably, many were busy. So we are shortly going to be speaking with Fahmi Fazil, Member of Parliament for Lembah Pantai. Before that, though, just a quick look at some of the messages that we've been getting. We've been asking you essentially how you're feeling after the announcement today, but also who would you like to see fill that that post, the post of Prime Minister?
So earlier you, we actually talked about how a lot of people want young faces or new faces. And we have Boye saying, I don't really care who becomes PM, but I prefer new, young and fresh cabinet, not recycling current cabinet pre-loved ministers. It's a pity that all the atok still pergi kerja, just rest and trust the youngsters to lead. It also makes Malaysia look bad when getting mad and cursing at old folks when they are putting up in unintelligent rules. Maybe Nurul Izzah, KJ, Syed Saddiq and Hannah should be kept in the cabinet. Next election, we won't be voting for parties. Our generation will vote for candidates or for the candidates themselves. And this panggal of the cabinet could just be a trial version. We'd be able to see who is really working for the people.
There's a real focus, isn't there, from the listeners on who has been working for the people, who would serve the people. And I think that that's an important point because we say this time and time again that it's important to remember the role, right? It's important to remember the role it is that our leaders are supposed to play, the role it is that our that people who are politicians, people who are MPs, are supposed to play for us. We've also, however, been asking you in general, right, how you've been feeling. And we do have this from Andrew, who says, I would like to see the next government taking into consideration the opinions of the people. And perhaps, you know, these questions could be considered, you know, who in the previous government would you want or not want to be in the next government? Who among the MPs or non-MPs or technocrats would you want to see? What are the reforms that you'd want the next government to look into? Where do you think that this government has failed? Whether it's COVID management, economic recovery, policies and reforms, leadership, public welfare, integrity, public trust, and best and worst performance. Essentially, Andrew wants to know, you know, how we as a collective are feeling about this.
You know what that sounds like? It sounds like how a corporation, an effective corporation, should be run. And, you know, I'm quite on board with that. There are a lot of people who think that politics should incorporate more of this sort of governance. And I can see why that would work.
We also, just to close off before we move on to speaking to our next guest, we have T.H. Lim, who says, my take is that Mahiadin would have performed better if he were brave enough to reshuffle his cabinet, trim and select able cabinet members. His performance was worsened by not having a good team of people in the cabinet. A PM doesn't have to be the best in everything, but they have to be good in terms of the coordination of resources and be a firm decision maker after proper consultation based on rationality rather than popularity. And also, even if we go to elections, the end result could be undecided. There may be no party coalition with majority. And then we'll be back to square one and take the risk of spreading the virus, worsening the pandemic.
Yes, this is the thing, right? Like when they came into power, it was with a split party, a party that lost so many of the people that were already there. And therefore, it ended up becoming picking the ones who are on the right side rather than the ones who could do the job.
Mm. Keep those thoughts coming. After this, we will be hearing from Fahmi Fazil, Member of Parliament for Lembah Pantai. Send us your thoughts and keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Banish fraudulent manoeuvres. BFM 89.9.
It is 7:15 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We've been spending this entire hour talking about we've been spending the entire show talking about the resignation of the Prime Minister. And now we want to hear from an MP. So we are going to be speaking now with Fahmi Fazil, Member of Parliament for Lembah Pantai. Fahmi, thanks for taking the time.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're coming through.
Okay.
So what were your reactions to Muhyiddin's announcement today?
I was. I think it's something which, as a parliamentarian, we have kind of seen it coming, but we just never imagined that it would be this day. No one's really jumping for joy because, you know, it just means that whoever comes next has a big pile of mess to work through and fix, and we need to do it urgently. I mean, we all know we only have less than 2 years to get things back in order. And you know, a lot of the challenges are seemingly insurmountable, whether it's economic, whether it's public health, whether it's education and jobs. Yeah. So it feels like a Herculean task ahead.
And so can you talk to us about the opposition's decision-making process that ultimately led to the rejection of the peace offering that came on Friday?
Yeah, I think there have been some MPs who were in touch with, I think, the other side, whether it was with Tengku Zafrul or with some of the other political actors. Yeah. And of course, some of us knew what was going on. And regardless of individual MPs' positions or decisions, ultimately, it was a collective decision which led to our rejection. See, I think the straw which broke the camel's back really was what happened during the special session of parliament and between the 26th and the 29th of July. It all began when Dato' Sri Taqiyuddin, the minister in charge of law and parliament, on the 26th, of course, came out and said that the emergency ordinances have been revoked on the 21st of July, which then led to a whole host of questions, queries, uncertainties, and these kind of very delay tactics until the extraordinary statement issued by Istana Negara, which essentially pointed to Taqiyuddin and AG Tan Sri Idris Harun as being the people who did not follow through on the titah perkenan tuanku. So I think if the CSA thing had happened, say, in March 2020 or earlier than July of this year, I don't know whether we would get to the same point. But as we all saw, it was that statement on the 29th. Actually, it wasn't the statement. It was really what happened on the first day of that special session that really changed a lot of perception. Whether you can say that, you know, some people were just waiting for an excuse. But I think once it became clear that this was, there was a penderhakaan, I mean, it was, you know, we've never seen a relationship, you know, if one could call it that, between Putrajaya and Istana Negara, as we've seen in the last couple of weeks, particularly. So I think really what you're seeing is a culmination of a lot of the discussions that have been going on. And I don't know where the next couple of days is going to lead. You know, it feels like February 2020 again. You might be able to hear my cat in the background.
Yes, and see it for a moment.
Yeah.
Sir, always welcome on our show. With no clear majority and no plans yet for GE15 to happen anytime soon, where does this leave the opposition?
Yeah. I think a lot of MPs and party leaders have been very cautious about any discussion about majority numbers, etc. Particularly when, if you were to study the statement from Istana Negara on the 29th of July, I think His Majesty the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong is particularly equipped now and well-versed and well-advised when it comes to constitutional matters. So a lot of MPs have been very hesitant to discuss without seeming to be getting ahead of ourselves in terms of the constitutional duty of His Majesty. So I think right now, probably anyone who talks any kind of numbers, I mean, no one's really talking about anything right now. I think we will all abide by the process. Unlike in February, on the 24th, I think, of February 2020, there was an evening statement from Istana Negara that basically said what the process was going to be. but we didn't see a process explicitly stated in today's statement from Istana Negara. And this is interesting, or you know, if you were to make that comparison, because Article 43, 2A of the Federal Constitution leaves it wide, it gives His Majesty a very wide berth, yeah, to navigate and really assess the situation to come to a decision. Yeah, and it is Tuan Ku's decision. It is His Majesty's decision, and we will respect that decision.
And in terms of cooperation, right, is now perhaps the best time to follow through with some form of a unity government?
I'm not in a position to comment. I think that's what, if you were to look at the statement issued by the Keeper of the Royal Seal, representing their Majesties, the Council of Rulers, I think there it was quite clear that the brother rulers would wish to see a stable government, an effective government that can deal with COVID-19, deal with economic pressures, and also save lives, yeah, and livelihoods. So I think whether there is some kind of permutation, some kind of alignment, some kind of configuration, I think what's clear is that stability, how it is to be interpreted in the actual majority in Parliament, when we get to Parliament eventually, I think that's where, essentially, since the Sheraton move, there has been a total collapse of trust, yeah, within the political order in Malaysia. What we need, and what I have been, you know, kind of like slowly talking to friends and all, actually for a while, is an idea of a Malaysian new Westphalian peace. Yeah, what that means is there has to be a new understanding between political parties. We will not steal your members. We will, you know, there'll be certain guidelines, certain rules of engagement, certain ways of, you know, this is the political game, so to speak. You know, whoever wins in the next elections, you know, then you get to, you know, lead. So I think there has to be that kind of understanding again. Yeah? And a lot of that trust was broken down because of the Sheraton move. So there has to be a rethinking. There has to be an internal realignment in terms of how political parties and political leaders particularly relate to each other. And whether we're able to do that in the next so many days, it's hard to say, but one can only hope so that we can have a better Malaysia. Yeah, in the days and months and years ahead.
So this may sound a little bit silly, but we are asking all MPs who come on our show this question. Who do you and your party support to be the next PM?
Well, of course, as coming from Keadilan, from PKR, you know, and someone like me, the communication director for the party, I think it comes as no surprise, and I don't think anyone would second guess me on who my choice will be. The question is, the real question I feel is, whoever is appointed by His Majesty should really reach across the aisle early, so that we can have that bipartisanship early enough. I think the Hail Mary pass that Tan Sri Mahyadin tried to do the last few days, yeah, hoping that someone in the opposition will catch that ball.
Fahmi? I think we might have lost Fahmi, unfortunately.
Was in the words of Datuk Sri Azalina, a dollar.
Fahmi, are you back?
Hello,
with us? Can you hear us?
Hello? Yes,
okay,
yes,
yeah, you're back.
Sorry, it's the internet.
That's fine, please,
yeah,
go
it's
on.
It's the internet. Yeah, the next government must fix the internet. As I was saying, the so-called, you know, if one were to put it that way, the Hail Mary pass by Tan Sri Muhyiddin in the last couple of days, hoping that someone in the opposition would catch, I think that reaching out has to happen very early. And we have to some extent, reset the rules of the game. And really rethink bipartisanship in the Malaysian Parliament. And Malaysian Parliament, actually Parliament for so long, I think that has contributed. Can you hear me?
Actually, Fahmi, I think we might try to call you. So, all right. I think we're going to try to call Fahmi. So, in the meantime, we are going to just quickly look at some of the messages that we've been getting. So let's see. We have this from Aiden.
So Aiden says, how about no prime minister, but senior ministers from each party? Make them sit at the table and work together regardless of whether they like it or not. No one will have ultimate power. I sort of like the chaos of that, but also that makes me slightly nervous.
Okay, I think we do have Fahmi back on the line with us and hopefully on a more secure line. Fahmi, hi.
Yes, hi. All right.
Okay, so you were saying, I think basically we were asking you who you and your party support to be the next PM. And, you know, surprisingly, we were on a cliffhanger.
Yes, sorry. It's the internet. So I think whoever becomes the next minister in charge of communications has to sort out the internet. Okay. So, of course, I support Anwar Ibrahim. He's my party president. And he's my choice for PM. But I think whoever becomes PM has to change the way the government bench and the opposition bench function. Yeah, I think there has to be less animosity. There has to be more actually working groups or committees where MPs can sit down together and really look at issues, problems, policies, steps and missteps taken by ministers and have them become more accountable to parliament. So I think some of the key reforms need to happen in parliament. I'm in favor of an anti-hopping law. I'm in favor of, you know, keeping actually a lot of what Tan Sri Muhyiddin mentioned in that press statement, in that PC that he did. Actually, a lot of those ideas were Pakatan Harapan's ideas. It's just that now, if we were to be in power, I think we have to work faster, harder, and do much more than what is expected of us, particularly in terms of reforms and delivering a lot of these things for the rakyat. And I think a lot of that relationship between the opposition and government benches, we've got to have that sorted out quite early so that we can have a fully functioning parliament, because that is where the checks and balances are done. And that's quite important going forward.
Yep. So, Fahmi, I think that we just have a very, like, we have 30 seconds left with you. What do you hope to see happen in the coming days?
Well, for me, of course, you know, a prime minister appointed, whoever the Yang di-Pertuan Agong appoints, I think we will abide by His Majesty's decision, and we have to get back to fixing the country. And whoever is in power, you've got to make sure that the opposition is roped in, and we all need to be together to really sort out the problems that we're facing right now as a country.
Fahmi, thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you.
That was Fahmi Fazil, MP for Lembah Pantai, weighing in on the resignation, really, of the Prime Minister and where that leaves him and, to a degree, his party. So we've been covering that all day long. We are, after this, going to be talking about the arts for a change of pace. So keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.